MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Archie Hartcote, portfolio managing emerging market equities at 91. Archie, appreciate the time. I want to touch emerging markets, but first, let's quickly start with President-elect Trump, who will be sworn in on Monday. I think what a lot of people perhaps miss about this is Trump version 2, but a lot of his trade policies from his first term, particularly those around China, were largely left in place by Biden.
That's completely right, Simon. So if you look at the policies that Trump put in place in 2017, essentially higher tariffs, more protectionism, a more competitive, aggressive stance with China, that whole American first thing. The interesting thing about Biden is he didn't really change it. If anything, tariffs went up, there were more restrictions on tech sales into China, etc. So really, the broad sort of spectrum of where we are, the direction was fixed 8 years ago. So really, I think the direction of travel is not really in debate. It's really whether we see a significant acceleration in the direction of travel.
And we've also seen less China resilience than the US. In the note, you and your colleague put out, exports down from 25% to 14% in the last decade. So perhaps just broadly also, maybe a little less impact, although still going to make a lot of headlines.
I think Trump 2.0 will be a little bit different from Trump 1.0 simply because the world's changed in 8 years. And as you say, I mean, China's exposure to direct exports to the US is now only down to 13% of their total exports. So 87% of their exports now go elsewhere. So there's been a lot of diversification of China's exports, and that continues. So part of the reason I think China and India signed a border treaty is because they both want to ramp up trade. And Xi Jinping was recently in Brazil, again, I think, partly to ramp up trade. So clearly, more restrictive trade policies in the US are negative, but I don't think we should overstate that impact, given the change we've already seen over the past 8 years.
And changes in China. I mean, you know, still great GDP growth for the size of the economy, but lower GDP growth, an aging population, people buying less luxury, perhaps in part due to the property crisis. There is changes happening in China beyond just their sort of trade partners, internal changes.
Yeah, I'd say we're quite cautious on the direction of the Chinese economy. We think deflation's there to stay. There's no magic bullet to turn around the property market. I think growth will struggle to get beyond sort of low mid-single digit. But having said that, the market itself is much more interesting. The market's going at a big discount. I think it's interesting for all the excitement about India in 2024. The Chinese market was up 20% in US dollars and India was up less than 12%. So sometimes it's the tortoise that wins the race and not the Indian hare, if you like. And I think certainly whilst we're not particularly excited by the market, we see lots of things to do on a bottom-up basis. So, for example, Chinese consumers feeling squeezed down, feeling unhappy with life, feeling cautious, and that there's a significant trading down. So you don't want to own the luxury good stocks or the premium stocks, but stocks which benefit from that trade down. So, for example, we own China's major food delivery company. So people, rather than going out and eating in nice restaurants, simply getting takeaway. Business is pretty good. We've got an aging population which needs more healthcare, more pensions, more life insurance. There's opportunities there. And I think the final thing to say is that I think Chinese corporates are not unaware that the environment's pretty tough. So they're cutting costs, they're refocusing, they're rationalizing their businesses. And actually, a lot of them are increasing dividends and buying back stock. So whilst the macro in China is quite tough, we see some opportunities on the bottom upside, certainly.
You mentioned India there, the Chinese equity market doing better than India. There must be opportunities in India. I mean, it is a giant economy. It is set to overtake China as the world's largest emerging market economy in the next couple of years. Is there space for some sort of bottom-up approach in India as well?
Yeah, very much. I mean, we very much like the Indian story. I think one of the sort of, I suppose, really unknown facts about India is one of the things that's driving the economy is they've had this policy of giving everyone in India an ID card. Mm-hmm. Think about getting an ID. With an ID, you can then buy a phone, you can get a bank account, the government knows who you are, so they can give you support payments, etc. Without an ID, you really don't participate. You're really, really a nobody. 500 million people in India have been given ID cards over the last 10 years, which is quite a dramatic increase in the economically active people. And if you're looking for one of the reasons why growth's come through, you add 500 million people to any economy, it's pretty big. So we think the opportunities in India are pretty sort of huge. The trouble is, of course, is that's a consensus view and the market's priced that. So valuations are very high. So we think there are longer term opportunities, but I think the valuations make us a little bit cautious and quite selective in the short term.
What about other emerging markets? If we're seeing the likes of China starting to chat with India, with Brazil, as you mentioned, opportunities in other EMs out there?
So we really like the Middle East. I mean, the Middle East is really transforming. They know the age of oil is coming to an end in the next few decades, and they're investing to diversify their economies. If you look at the UAE, the UAE is a very unusual place. It's open for immigration. It's open for trade. It's got 15% corporate tax and 0% personal tax. It's an incredibly attractive place to do business. When I mention Saudi Arabia, there's a sharp intake of breath generally from people when I mention it. Mm-hmm. But the female participation in the labor force has doubled in the last 5 years. There's a social transformation there, which I think is largely not seen. And if you look at Southeast Asia, a lot of the markets there are benefiting from manufacturing moving out of China into places like Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia. So there's a lot of growth there. So really, we think there's some quite exciting things to do. And there are beneficiaries of today's world. It's not just losers from Trump 2.0. And we're obviously very focused on finding those winners.
Yeah, losers, they're going to be winners lurking somewhere. We'll leave it there. It's Archie Hart, Co-Portfolio Manager, Emerging Market Equities at 90 One. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.